Thank you for being here at this service to hear this sermon. We appreciate that very much. And at the end of the sermon, just stay put right where you're at. And Carl's going to minister to us. Carl's going to sing for us at the end of the sermon. First, a reading from the New Testament, a reading from 1 Peter. Let yourselves be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. A spiritual house, a royal priesthood. We have so much to celebrate together today. We are just a couple days away from the 66th anniversary of Trinity Lutheran Church. 66 years ago, 37 people decided to start a Lutheran church in Freeland. Now, 37 sounds like a bigger number than it was. 37 does not really tell the whole story. You see, only 20 of those charter members were adults. What did they have? They had faith. A wild, reckless faith. And they had very little else. Because they had no money. They had no building. They had no property. They had no reserves. They had no tables and chairs. They had no coffee pot. And they had no staff. They rented a hall from the Seventh-day Adventist a few hours a week, and they shared a pastor with St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Clinton. Faith was about all that they had. What were they thinking? The odds were certainly stacked against them. After all, in 1953, Freeland was not exactly the thriving business metropolis that it is today. 2 years later, they began to build a cinder block church on a postage stamp size piece of donated property, and their total budget all in to build the new sanctuary was $6,000. Halfway through this pay-as-you-go construction project, they could only raise $2,000. It's not surprising. 20 adults, 17 children, 37 people of faith. Three of those 37 are still in our congregation today: Betty Lehman, Sandy Peterson Nelson, and Betty Cameron Disher are here, and we thank you. We thank you. Because the truth is, we are here today because they were here before us. And we are deeply indebted to the 37 people who believed, who dreamed, who stepped out in faith, giving birth to the church that we love today. And we would be remiss if we did not also say thank you to the Dyers and the Allens and others who have labored and served here for more than half a century. This church, you see, did not just arrive in Freeland. It was prayed for. It lived in the hearts of God's people long before the doors ever opened. The church that is entrusted to us now did not just magically survive those 66 years. It was supported and nourished through long, challenging decades when its very existence was in question. Now, there are many parallels between this story and our own personal stories. We are here because others went before us. None of us here just kind of arrived. No, we lived in the hearts of our parents and in the imagination of God long before we were born. We were loved and cared for when we could not care for ourselves. And the same could be said for this land and this nation and the freedom that we enjoy here. It was largely provided for us by others. Some of their names we know, but most are unknown. They lived lives of faith. They laid the foundations of this great nation. We have benefited from their sacrifice. Yes, we are here because of others. So pause for just a moment, if you will, and give thanks for those who modeled the faith for you when you were but a child. Give thanks for those saints who shared words of grace and hope and forgiveness with you. Give thanks for those who shared the teachings of Jesus with you. Pause and consider for a moment that you do not sit here this morning in this sanctuary in isolation. You are not here by accident, and you are not alone. You are here because others have gone before you. And the people in this sanctuary this morning are not a part of a random gathering. No, they are your church family. They journey with you through life toward death. We have a lot to celebrate today. 66 years ago, 37 people believed in something that they could not see. They believed in a long shot. They believed that with God all things were possible. And I think it's very safe to say that Pete and Alice and Nora and Harry and Bonnie and Betty, in their wildest imaginations, never could have imagined what this church would look like 66 years later. The church started by 37 people without a pot to pee in now touches the world, from Bihar, India, to the streets of Seattle, from a dozen college campuses where we are scholarshiping students to our neighbors right here on Whidbey Island. Yes, it is good that we are here together. Now, the church is dressed in red today. It's Reformation Sunday. I called Father Rick, the Catholic priest. I sent him an email this week, asked him if he needed me to supply him with any Martin Luther quotes for the weekend. I never heard back from him, but we are good friends. Reformation Sunday 2019. You know, the first sermon that I ever preached at Trinity Lutheran Church was on Reformation Sunday 1989. 30 years later, it's my hope to send you out those doors this morning with two of the most important takeaways from a Reformation that changed the world. But first, a little background for you. Martin Luther was born in 1483. The world was flat. It would be 9 years before Columbus would sail the ocean blue. Luther was born in 1483, 11 years before Leonardo da Vinci would begin painting the Last Supper in Milan. 1483, Michelangelo was 8 years old. The great Italian Renaissance painter Raphael was 7 months old. And the world was dark, and the world was cold. 150 years earlier, one-third of Europe had died in the Black Plague. Science could not explain it. It seemed like a punishment from an angry God was the only logical explanation. Life was harsh, very harsh. The life expectancy was 34 years. In 1517, Luther was 34 years old. It had been 75 years since Johannes Gutenberg had invented the movable type printing press. Gutenberg's invention was every bit as revolutionary as the internet. On October 31st, 1517, Luther, a Catholic monk, priest, and professor of theology, nailed the 95 Theses on the church door in Wittenberg, Germany. He was hoping to spark an intellectual and theological debate. Luther had no intention of starting a new church. There was no such thing as a new church. There was only the Holy Roman Catholic Church, and by the 16th century, it was neither holy or Roman. Luther wanted to reform the church that he loved. And the more he taught and the more he studied Scripture, the more convinced he was that God's favor could not be bought with money. God's favor could not be earned with good works. If salvation boiled down to achievement and money, then what did we need Jesus for? Luther understood it was time to bring the church back to Jesus. Luther read Paul's words, and his heart was open to the truth. Since we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God, we are justified by grace as a gift. 502 years ago, Martin Luther stood up against the most powerful institution on earth. Against all odds, he called on the church to reform. He questioned the church's theology, its superstitious practices, its use of indulgences, and its oppression of common, mostly uneducated people of the Dark Ages. Luther challenged the church, and the Gutenberg presses started working overtime. In 1521, three quarters of everything published in Germany was written by Martin Luther. The debate spread like wildfire throughout Europe. The Dark Ages were coming to an end, and the world and the church would never be the same. The history is fascinating, is it not? It has so much to teach us because history always is a good teacher for us. Now, there are so many things to learn from the Reformation that started 502 years ago this week, but I'd like to leave you with just two thoughts to ponder this week and perhaps for the rest of your life. The first is grace. As Pastor Dan Erlander, who was a pastor here for 9 years, kept telling us, grace, 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 grace. Our only hope is God's grace. And God is indeed gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Grace. We cannot earn God's love. We cannot buy God's love. Our good works, our intellectual achievement, our worship attendance, our care for our neighbor, our care for the environment, they are all very important. But we cannot earn God's love. We cannot earn our way to heaven. We cannot buy our way out of hell or purgatory, which doesn't exist, by the way. Grace, grace, grace. Our friend Philip Yancey wrote, there is nothing we can do to make God love us more, and there is nothing we can do to make God love us less. You see, God just loves you. God loves me. In all my frailty, in all my brokenness, in my despair, even when no one else seems to love me, God loves me. The Reformation started with grace. And I would encourage you then to live your life with a deep appreciation for God's grace and find it in your heart to be graceful and grace-filled in all of your interactions with others, especially those you live with. The second takeaway from this Reformation Day is equally important. And this teaching was radical. It's hard to even express how radical, groundbreaking it was, and it was empowering as well. Now, before Luther, the church taught that the priest and the nuns did holy work. They alone did God's work on earth. The common people did whatever they needed to survive. They worked in harsh conditions to feed their families and to support the work of God, the holy work that was done by the priest and the nuns. Secular work was dirty work. Building roads, digging ditches, burying the dead, baking bread, caring for children, building homes. Secular work was a necessary evil. But Luther taught that we are all ordained for Christian labor and service by our baptisms. This radical teaching came to be known as the priesthood of all believers. I got a question for you. How many of you know the name Debbie Webster? How many of you know Debbie Webster? Okay. A few of you. Four of you, I guess. Okay, well, maybe I better ask another question. How many of you have ever had a donut or a muffin, or a deli sandwich from Payless? Okay, that's better. Okay. So I was talking to Debbie Webster on Thursday morning at Payless. She's the manager of the deli and the bakery there. And she was preparing for hungry customers to arrive for their food. And as we were talking, she congratulated me on 30 years of service at Trinity Lutheran Church. And I asked her, I said, Debbie, how long have you been at Payless? Well, come to find out, we both started in the same month 30 years ago. Debbie's labor for the past 30 years is no less important than mine. Her labor there is no less pleasing to God than mine. Now, I have officiated at 800 funerals, and she's made 80,000 donuts. Now, let me translate this for you. She makes people happy. I make people cry. Her work is her ministry. She gets up every morning long before the sun comes up, and she labors lovingly on behalf of the people in this community. And we experience her faithfulness even if we never knew her name. The priesthood of all believers. Every week I send you off from this place of worship to your own places of ministry and service. That blessing recognizes that your work Monday through Friday is holy work. God's work entrusted to you. God's people have labored here at Trinity Lutheran Church for the past 66 years. And how does it work? Everyone does their part. And the church would not be here if they, or if you, were not here now. The priesthood of all believers. You matter. Your work matters. Loving your children and grandchildren is holy work. Building ships or airplanes, teaching students, making cinnamon rolls, or picking up the garbage. It is not just work. It is the ministry that God has entrusted to you at this time in your life. Your work is holy. Your neighbors and future generations are depending on you. You see, your life matters right now. Your life is not, it's not something to get through. It's not a dress rehearsal. It's not a qualifying exam to get you to heaven. Your life is a gift from the one who knit you together in your mother's womb. It's a gift of grace from the one who loves you always. Yes, your life matters, and your work, and your love, and your forgiveness, and your grace has the power to change the world for good. And I thank you for doing just that. 66 years ago, they stepped out in faith and believed. The seemingly insignificant seeds they planted have grown into Trinity Lutheran Church today. May God bless their memory, and may God bless the ministry we now share, because we are in this together. Amen.